Welcome to the deep dive. We're here to sift through the sources, connect the dots, and really pull out the insights that matter for you.
That's right.
And today, we're diving into something ancient, but incredibly relevant. Psalm 10.
A powerful one.
Definitely. It's this raw, honest lament, you know? And it speaks so clearly to our own times, especially when we face injustice.
It really does resonate.
So our goal today is to unpack it, really get to the heart of its message, and see how this ancient wisdom offers, well, real strength and encouragement for us now.
And maybe even spurs us to action, reflecting God's heart for justice.
Exactly. So let's start right at the top. The psalm opens with this this incredibly direct question, doesn't it?
It does. It's quite startling.
Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? It just hits you, that feeling of abandonment.
Yeah, it sets a very specific scene. It's not starting from a place of quiet certainty. It's raw. It's questioning.
Right. And from there.
Well, from that opening cry, the psalmist paints this really vivid picture of the wicked. Verses 2 through 11. It's quite a description.
Tell us about that. What does he focus on?
He talks about their pride, first off, how they persecute the poor out of sheer arrogance.
Okay.
And their boastfulness, their greed, which the psalm says God himself abhors. But it's also their mindset that's key. The text says God is not in all his thoughts. They operate as if he just doesn't exist, or at least doesn't matter.
Wow. So a complete lack of accountability in their minds.
Totally. They think they'll never be in adversity. They feel untouchable.
And their actions reflect that.
Oh, absolutely. Their mouths are full of cursing and deceit and fraud. They commit violence in secret, setting traps like a lion, specifically targeting the poor, the vulnerable.
That image of the lion in the den is chilling.
It is. And perhaps the most arrogant part. They actually think God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it.
So they believe they're literally getting away with it unseen.
Exactly. Utter impunity.
That's a tough picture. And one that feels, well, sadly familiar sometimes even today. It does. But the psalm doesn't just stay there in that description of evil, right? There's a shift.
A really powerful shift. The psalmist pivots to this incredibly bold plea. He cries out for God to intervene.
What does that sound like?
It's a direct call. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. It's almost demanding.
Arise. Yeah, that's not a timid suggestion. It's a challenge.
It really is. And it's fascinating because even while questioning God's apparent absence, the psalmist is still talking to God, still believing God can act.
So the prayer itself is an act of faith, even in doubt.
Precisely. He expresses trust that God has seen the mischief and spite and that he will requite it. It's like saying, I know you see this, now do something.
A kind of spiritual protest born from faith.
You could say that. And this wrestling, this bold plea, it leads somewhere profound.
Where does it end up?
It ends with this amazing declaration of faith. Total trust in God's ultimate reign and justice, verses 16 to 18. The psalmist declares, the Lord is king forever and ever, full stop, despite everything he's just described.
Wow. After all that darkness, that statement lands with force.
It really does. And he affirms that God hears the desire of the humble, prepares their heart, listens to them.
So God is attentive to the vulnerable, even when it doesn't seem like it.
Yes. And the final word is confidence. God will judge the fatherless and the oppressed, and ultimately ensure that the man of the earth may no more oppress.
From raw lament to this triumphant confidence in God's justice, that's quite a journey in one psalm.
It truly is.
So what's really fascinating, I think, is how these ancient words just cut through time. They lay out truths about evil, about justice that feel so relevant.
Absolutely. There's timeless wisdom packed in here.
What's one key piece of that wisdom for you?
Well, one thing that really stands out is how the psalm tackles the prosperity of the wicked. You know, when corrupt people seem to thrive, exploit others, feel totally untouchable.
Right, and they seem to face no consequences.
Exactly. The psalm acknowledges that reality, but it firmly states, God sees it all and he will act. It challenges our impatience, maybe, our expectation for immediate justice. It suggests their success is temporary.
So what looks like impunity isn't the final word. God's timing isn't ours.
Precisely. And tied to that is another core truth. God cares deeply for the vulnerable.
How did the psalm emphasize that?
It explicitly says God defends the fatherless and the afflicted. This isn't just a passing comment. It's presented as fundamental to God's character. Unlike earthly powers that often ignore the weak, God actively champions their cause.
That's a huge statement of hope for those feeling powerless.
It is. And thirdly, even though the wicked are described as cunning, acting in secret.
Like that lion image again?
Yeah. The psalm stresses that none of it is actually hidden from God. They might think they're operating in darkness, but none of it escapes God's sight.
God sees everything. No secrets.
No secrets. Which provides, you know, immense comfort when you feel like injustice is happening unnoticed.
And this connects back to what you said about prayer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The psalmist sees the injustice, believes God sees it too, and then demands action.
Exactly. Prayer here isn't passive resignation. It's active engagement. It's a form of protest, fueled by hope, refusing to accept that injustice gets the last word.
It's like saying, my faith compels me to speak up, even to you, God, about this. That really reframes how we can approach prayer when we see wrong in the world.
It does. It gives us permission to be bold, to be honest, even in our frustration.
Okay, so let's bridge this directly to today. How does all this ancient wisdom land in our modern lives? Because honestly, Psalm 10 can sound eerily familiar sometimes.
It really can. Systemic injustice, powerful people seeming to exploit others without consequence. It's not new.
So first off, maybe just knowing the feeling isn't unique is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
When injustice feels overwhelming, the psalm reminds you, you're not alone in feeling that way.
That's a great point. It validates those very real frustrations. People thousands of years ago wrestled with the same things. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do the innocent suffer? Why does God seem silent sometimes?
Knowing that shared struggle across time is somehow comforting.
It is. But the psalm does more than just validate feelings. It really calls us to an active faith, an obedient faith.
How so? What does that look like practically?
Well, look at how the psalmist exposes and names the evil. He doesn't gloss over it. He calls it out.
Right.
So for us, that could mean exposing corruption where we see it, advocating for those who've been abused, challenging systems that are unjust. It's about not staying silent.
So obedience here isn't just about personal piety. It's about actively resisting evil.
Yes. It's a tangible way to live out our faith. And importantly, the psalm shows that faith doesn't mean suppressing our questions or doubts.
You mean it's okay to ask God why?
Absolutely. The psalmist does. Wrestling honestly with God, bringing our confusion, even our anger, into that relationship. That's not weakness. It's actually a sign of deep engagement. It can strengthen our faith, not diminish it.
That's a powerful thought. Honest wrestling is a form of faith.
And underpinning all this is the affirmation that God is not passive. This is crucial.
Even when it looks like nothing is happening.
Even then, the song confidently says God hears, he remembers, and he will ultimately break the arm of the wicked. That's verse 15.
Break the arm. That's such a vivid image of intervention.
It is. It's meant to assure us of God's decisive justice. It might be delayed in our perception, but it is coming. The power of the wicked is not ultimate. It will be broken. That strengthens our faith in his eventual perfect justice.
So that image isn't just about punishment, but about restoring order and defending the oppressed.
Exactly. Which leads to another key application you mentioned earlier.
And towering the powerless.
Yes. Verse 17. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. It implies God not only hears the oppressed, but strengthens them, prepares them.
And how does that translate to our actions?
It's a call for us to be involved in that strengthening, to support, to amplify the voices of the marginalized, those who are often silenced.
So not just praying for them, but standing with them, providing practical support.
Precisely. Being instruments of God's care, actively working for justice on their behalf, it moves us from being observers to participants in dismantling injustice. Our obedience becomes action.
That really connects faith, prayer, and action in a compelling way.
It does. And if we zoom out, look at the big picture. Psalm 10 is incredibly realistic. It doesn't paint a rosy picture where everything is fair.
No, it definitely acknowledges the harsh realities.
It names the pain, the anger, the confusion when evil seems to be winning. But, and this is the crucial part, it refuses to let that be the end of the story.
It insists on hope.
Yes. Hope grounded in God's character. He's not blind, not deaf, not absent. He is the defender of the voiceless. He is the righteous judge, even if the full picture isn't clear to us yet.
So even when injustice feels final.
Psalm 10 shouts, it's not. The story isn't over. God's justice will prevail.
Wow. This deep dive really highlights how much guidance and, frankly, comfort an ancient text like Psalm 10 can offer for today's struggles with injustice. It challenges us, strengthens faith, and definitely calls us to act.
It really does pack a punch, doesn't it?
It does. So thinking about everything we've explored here, How might the powerful message of Psalm 10 encourage you, our listeners, to perhaps act or even just pray more boldly for justice right where you are?